Today we're building a roller pad carve in Ableton Live 12 that sits behind a jungle or old school DNB breakbeat, keeps moving, and barely touches the CPU. And just to be clear, this is not about making some giant glossy synth wall. We want something tighter than that. Darker, more restless, more like a smoked-out harmonic bed that moves around the break instead of stepping on it. Think classic roller energy, classic jungle tension, and a pad that feels musical because it's carved with the groove. If you've ever heard a tune where the drums are doing all that wild chopped-up talking, but there is still a moody chord cloud underneath, making the whole thing feel deep and dangerous, that's the vibe we're chasing. The big win here is that this kind of pad does a lot of jobs at once. It gives you movement without extra drum programming. It leaves room for the sub and kick. It adds atmosphere without stacking a bunch of heavy synth layers. And in a DNB arrangement, it can be the thing that makes the loop feel alive even when the drum edit is pretty minimal. So let's build it the smart way, with stock Ableton tools and a lean CPU footprint. Start by creating a new MIDI track and loading a simple synth. For minimal CPU, Operator is usually the best choice, but Waveitable or Analog can also work if your session is light. If you want the most efficient route, go with Operator. The first step is to make the source patch simple on purpose. We're not trying to impress anyone with complexity at this stage. Use a sine or triangle-based foundation. If you want a bit more body, add a second oscillator an octave up, but keep it restrained. Aim for 4 to 6 voices of polyphony at most. That's plenty for a pad sitting behind a break. Set the amp envelope with a soft front edge. A little attack, maybe around 40 to 120 milliseconds, so it doesn't click in aggressively. Then give it a release that can breathe, somewhere around 600 milliseconds to 2 seconds depending on how busy the arrangement is. If the release is too long, it'll smear the snare lane later, so keep that in mind. If you want more character, add a touch of filter drive or a very small detune, maybe just a few cents. But don't go wide and huge yet. This isn't a trans stack. This is a roller pad carve. We want controlled tension, not obvious size. Now write the chord shape. For jungle and old school DNB, the harmony should usually stay dark and sparse. Minor 7, minor 9, sus 2, sus 4. Even simple dyads can work really well if the rest of the arrangement is already busy. You do not need lush jazz chords all the time. In fact, sometimes less is better because the break already has enough personality. If we're in a minor, for example, you might try A, C, E, G for a minor 7 color, or A, C, E, B for a more open minor 9 tension, or even a shifting chord like G, B, T, F to create that moody pre-drop pull. Keep the voicing in the mid-range. That's a really important point. If the break is dense, stay a bit higher so the sub owns the floor. If the tune is sparse, you can let the pad sit lower, but always protect the low end. In this style, a muddy pad will flatten the groove fast. Now for the core of the whole technique, auto filter. Drop auto filter after the synth. This is where the carve starts to happen. Use a low pass 12 dB filter if you want smooth movement, or 24 dB if the sound is too bright and needs a firmer hand. Start with the cutoff fairly muted. Depending on the patch, that could be anywhere from about 180 to 500 Hz for a darker intro. Then open it up into the drop, maybe somewhere in the 1.2 to 4 kHz range. The important thing is not to automate it in a boring straight line. Let it breathe like a phrase. Darker on the first couple of bars, then opening on the next phrase, then dipping again before a fill, then opening again as the next section lands. That phrase-based movement makes the pad feel like it belongs to the arrangement instead of sitting on top of it. You can also use the filter to create little rhythmic interactions with the drums. If you want the pad to feel like it's censoring the break, close it slightly on snare accents or kick hits. You can do that by hand with automation, or by using clip envelopes if you want something more repeatable. This gives you that illusion of the pad reacting to the groove. Next, let's make the pad move from inside the synth itself. Shape the amp and filter envelope so the pad has a gentle inhale and exhale. A slightly soft attack, a filter envelope amount around 10 to 35%, and a decay in the 300 to 900 millisecond range can make a huge difference. If you're using Operator, you can map envelope modulation to the filter or oscillator level, so the note opens a little at the start and then settles back. That creates the carved feel before the effects even get involved. This is where the groove instrument idea matters. In jungle, even sustained harmony should imply rhythm. So think about note length, envelope shape, and phrase length like you would think about drum placement. If the break is super active, Actually, shortening the note lengths a little can sometimes work better than opening the filter more. A tighter gate preserves impact. Now we need to make room for the drums. Add EQ8 after auto filter. Don't treat it like a tone sweetener first. Treat it like a support engineer. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on what the sub and kick are doing. If it gets muddy, dip a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. That area is a classic cloud zone in DNB, especially in older styles. If the pad is clashing with the snare body, make a small notch around 180 to 220 Hz only if needed. And if the filter opens and the pad gets harsh, gently tame the 2.5 to 5 kHz range. Always look at the actual break. If your snare crack is living in a certain mid-range spot, sidestep the pad around that area instead of just over-high-passing everything. That keeps the pad full while still clearing the snare lane. Now add a single modulation effect for width and motion. Chorus ensemble is usually the safest choice if you want width without drama. Keep it subtle, slow rate, moderate width, and a low amount, maybe around 10 to 25%. If you want something darker and more characterful, facer flanger can work too, but use it very lightly. Low feedback, slow rate, and a very small mix. The goal is not obvious wobble, it's drift. The pad should feel like it's hovering behind the break and gently breathing, not chewing through the mix. A very important tip here. If the arrangement already feels busy, do less. The drums are the star of the movement. The pad is there to support the rhythm, not compete with it. Now let's handle the stereo field. Add utility near the end of the chain. If the pad starts getting cloudy, the first move is often to reduce width a little rather than cutting more EQ. Keep the low end focused and avoid wide bass content in the pad's source itself. If you want the sound to feel larger, you can push width to around 100 to 140%, but be careful. In this style, too much width can smear the groove. If you want an advanced but efficient workflow, put the pad inside an audio effect rack with two chains. One chain is your dry center support. The other is your filtered wide layer. Keep the wide layer quiet. That gives you size without a heavy layering mess, and it's a very CPU-friendly way to create perceived depth. Now for sidechain. Use compressor with sidechain from the kick or from the main drum bus. Keep it restrained, usually a ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, a medium attack, a fairly quick release, and just a couple dB of gain reduction is enough. For this style, you usually do not want that big house music pump unless the track specifically wants it. In jungle and roller DNB, the break already creates plenty of motion. The sidechain is just there to clear space on key hits and help the pad breathe with the rhythm. Sometimes sidechaining from the snare or full drum bus works even better than using only the kick, especially if the break is syncopated and the snare is the main punctuation. At this point, the pad should already be working as a loop. Now we automate it across the arrangement so it becomes a proper track element, not just a sound. In the intro, keep it heavily filtered and narrow. Let the break come in pieces. In the drop, open the pad slightly, but keep it carved so the drums still dominate. In the mid-phrase, switch up. Narrow it or close the filter for a bar or two before the fill. In the breakdown, widen it a little and let the harmonics bloom. Then for the DJ-friendly outro, strip it back to filtered fragments so the tune can mix out cleanly. One nice move is to make the pad open only on specific bars, like bars 5, 9, and 13 in a 16-bar section. If those openings sensor a snare fill or a break chop, you get that call and response feel that sounds very authentic in jungle-influenced writing. Here's another coach note that matters a lot. Use track volume automation or clip gain before you reach for more compression. A pad that is slightly quieter but moving musically will usually sit better than a loud pad that's been overprocessed into place. If the sound is working and you want to keep the session lean, freeze it. If you want more editing freedom, flatten it or resample it to audio. That's a very normal jungle workflow, actually. Once the pad is printed, you can reverse fade it into transitions, chop it into little fill moments, or layer it under another break edit without adding more synth load. That's one of the best ways to stay CPU light in Ableton Live 12 and still sound finished. Let's talk about a few common mistakes before we wrap. First, don't make the pad too wide in the low mids. That's one of the fastest ways to blur the mix. If that happens, reduce width and high pass more aggressively. Second, don't overdo the resonance. A little tension is great, a whistling filter peak sitting on top of the break is not. Third, watch the snare. A pad can sound fine in solo and still smear the snare tail once the full break is playing. If that happens, shorten the release first. Fourth, don't stack huge unison voices. Use a simple source and good automation. That's way more in the spirit of this technique anyway. And fifth, Don't ignore arrangement. A pad that sounds amazing in an 8-bar loop can still fail in a real track if it never changes. The movement has to support the song. If you want to go a level deeper, here are a few advanced variations. Try a ghost chord version where the pad only triggers on selected offbeats or near snare hits. That creates a ghost harmony effect, like the tune is breathing with a break. Try a split register version where one layer handles body and another handles texture. Keep the body narrow and the texture wider. That gives you dimension without turning the sound into mush. Or try a half-bar pulse version where cutoff or volume moves in a smaller cycle. That can add subtle urgency in a sparse drum section. You can also add a tiny bit of saturator with soft clip-on and just a few dB of drive if you want density without adding much CPU, or a little erosion if the pad feels too polite. But keep it subtle. We're after smoke, not destruction.